From health and wellness to education,
we need to be thinking about what it takes for students to succeed.
From art and politics to social issues of the day,
we have young Black males who are thriving in their communities and who are being shown as leaders.
The journey is what matters.
I would say to all of us, we can be better than we are.
Let's join Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, president of Howard University, and his guests as they take steps on the journey.
Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. And today, joining me on the journey is Dr. Tricia Ben-Goodley. Dr. Tricia Ben-Goodley is a professor of social work here at Howard University. She currently serves as the principal investigator and program director of the Interpersonal Violence Prevention Program at Howard University, a domestic violence, dating violence, sexual assault, and stalking prevention initiative founded by the Office of Violence Against Women. Her research and writing has focused on developing community and faith-based interventions in the areas of domestic violence, dating violence, HIV prevention, and healthy relationship education. She's also a member of the Council on Social Work Education's Council on Leadership Development. Welcome.
Thank you.
So let's start with talking about forms of interpersonal violence, just to set the platform of today's topic. What exactly are we talking about when we speak of those?
So when we talk about interpersonal violence, we're looking at areas of dating violence, domestic violence, sexual assault, and stalking. And essentially, we are looking at violence that's perpetrated against an individual person. And so that's what differentiates interpersonal violence from other forms of violence, such as community violence.
Understood. How prevalent are these issues first in the general community? And then maybe we can talk about on a university campus such as here at Howard University.
So the prevalence levels are actually quite high, and we see these numbers in communities really paralleling what we see on community and college campuses. So, for example, the statistic that we often talk about related to sexual assault and dating and domestic violence is that 1 in 4 women actually experience some form of physical violence or sexual assault over the course of her life. And so this is something that has created, of course, great concern in communities, but also on the college campus level. Recently, we saw the White House publish a report that actually looks at sexual assault specifically, where we found that 1 in 5 women have experienced some form of sexual assault, actually, before she's graduated from college. And so we see these numbers parallel between the community and the college campus.
Now, those numbers seem very high.
Yes.
1 in 5 women experiencing sexual assault before graduating, and 1 in 4 women over their lifetime having some type of severe physical violence, you said, by a current or former spouse. What are some of the underpinning issues that lead to this type of behavior?
So one of the things that we see is that certainly issues around socioeconomic status, poverty is one example of that. But I think one important message is that it really doesn't matter what your socioeconomic status is. These forms of violence are experienced by women who are in very affluent communities, homes, positions, jobs, professions. And so we definitely know that the prevalence level is there for those women as well. I do want to say that our reported numbers are low. So even though those numbers sound really high, we also know that these are reported behaviors. They're actually, we suspect that the numbers are actually quite higher when you look at sexual assaults and domestic violence that has not been reported.
Right. Now, on a college campus where maybe you would say the socioeconomic issue is not as prevalent, what is being done nationwide, given President Obama's push to bring this issue to the forefront? What is being done currently across campuses in general to bring attention to this issue?
So because of President Obama's initiative, what we're seeing across college campuses is a focus on prevention. We're actually seeing that colleges and universities will now be required to have policies and protocols in place so that if a student experiences a sexual assault or any form of interpersonal violence, that that college and university is prepared to respond to it. We're also seeing judicial affairs processes having to grow and change as a result of this issue, as well as having trained law enforcement who are able to engage and work with victims and survivors. I do want to emphasize that one of the major thrusts, and the laws specifically are Title IX, of course, the Clery Act, and then what we're seeing as part of the Violence Against Women Act amendments. Some people call that the Campus Save Act. And what we're seeing is that all persons who are interacting with students will be required to have some training in these areas so that they know how to appropriately respond. So these are really major changes for universities at the policy level, at the training level, and programmatically in terms of prevention, as well as how we intervene and respond.
Now, I would suspect that students who are offenders in this category do not come to college campuses and then begin that behavior. There must be something occurring prior to that.
Absolutely.
And what would be some of those things that are occurring, and what are we doing on that level to prevent or at least to eradicate the behavior before they even get to our college campuses?
So I think that's a great point. And certainly one of the things that we see is that the prevalence level of interpersonal violence among teenagers is growing. And we see it specifically in the middle school years. So many of these behaviors begin there. And what we see happening is that oftentimes perpetrators will not, again, this is a very underreported crime. And so as a result, there may not be any reports that have been made against the perpetrator. So when they come to a college campus, those behaviors definitely continue. And so part of what we do is we begin to identify if there's been a pattern of behavior and then respond to those patterns if in fact that we see them. I think you bring up a really interesting point, though, and that is that in many cases, particularly for sexual assault, in fact, over 85% of the time, the victim knows who the perpetrator is. And I think that's a really big myth that we have to begin to dispel, that it's a stranger. Oftentimes, women know who the perpetrator is, and that's consistent in the community as well as on the college campus.
Right. So that certainly speaks to the point that I think both victim and assailant need to be educated in a way to not just prevent the behavior, but it sounds like getting people to report it and be more comfortable. You mentioned some of the new initiatives on campuses. Are there, or can you speak to us about those types of initiatives that are occurring here at Howard University?
So we're doing a number of things at Howard. We've been very fortunate to have a very comprehensive response to both how we do prevention as well as how we intervene in cases. And so in terms of prevention, we have a coordinated community response team that works on these issues. So we collaborate, law enforcement, advocate, our Title IX representative, Residence Life, all of our different university partners collaborate. But in terms of prevention, another thing that we do is that we work with students. And I think that that's very important, that students are engaged and they're involved. And so being able to collaborate with students on prevention activities, make it interesting for them, and to be honest about and direct about some of the things that we see that are important for them to think about. That's one of the things that we've done. We've trained all of our law enforcement and judicial officers, and we do have a protocol and policy in place so that if we must intervene, we have both the sensitivity and the know-how to be able to do that.
Do you have statistics on this issue in same-sex relationships?
Actually, the statistics parallel in same-sex relationships. Some people think that it's higher, and that's just not true. So we know that there is a parallel in terms of the numbers that we're seeing. And again, there's quite a bit of underreporting in this population as well, particularly if one of the partners has not stated that they actually, if they've not come out already, it becomes that much more challenging, and that can actually be used against them in a relationship. And so we know the numbers are fairly consistent, again, in terms of what we see in heterosexual communities.
Right. Now, moving a little away from just the sexual violence, what about bullying and that type of activity that seems to be increasing in our school systems, and I would assume on our college and university campuses as well?
Yes. And so we do see an uptick in terms of bullying and bullying behaviors. And I think, again, it's so important to acknowledge that these are behaviors that we can catch early, not just in middle school, but in elementary school in terms of bullying behavior. I think how it begins to change and shift is as we get older and our children have more exposure to technology, you begin to see the technology and social media used in terms of bullying behaviors and activities. And so that can actually parallel stalking. And so how we track those activities, it's the same way that we would track it in terms of a person being stalked.
Right.
But certainly there are bullying campaigns that schools can use in their communities, and there are interventions that one can employ in their communities that actually reach into a number of these different areas, because fundamentally it comes down to how young people view themselves and how they see themselves interacting with others.
Right, absolutely. Now, you mentioned earlier as we were speaking about the different units that we bring to play.
Yes.
It seems that residence life would be a very critical component. We have co-ed dorms on our campus. We have some residence halls on our campus currently where we have different limitations on visiting and stuff like that. What are some of the specific things you think within residence life in particular that may help enhance some of this prevention attitude that we need to have throughout the entire campus?
I think that we have to talk about what healthy relationships look like. You know, I think a lot of times we move prevention to what is domestic violence, what is sexual assault, what is consent. And that's very important because we do need to talk about those issues. But for many of our young people, they haven't been exposed to a healthy relationship. They haven't been exposed to what that looks like. And so it's important for us to not just talk about that, but model it. And we model it in how we treat each other. We model it in terms of our own relationships and what students hear about how we interact with the people in our lives, particularly our intimate partners. So I think it really starts with having those broader conversations around what does a healthy relationship look like? And that starts, again, with how you see yourself.
Right. No, I think that's an excellent point. As we begin to wrap up, I'm wondering about resources that listeners can access as we think about this. For someone who is listening who may be a victim or who may know of an assailant, and they would like to get that person not just information but some type of support system that they can use as a resource going forward. What are some of those resources you'd like to give our listeners an opportunity to access?
So the first source I would suggest is 1-800-799-SAFE. And that is the domestic violence hotline, and they will be able to connect you with local providers in the community that can support and assist, as well as our website, campussafetyfirst.howard.edu. And at that website, we have not just phone numbers of local providers and national hotlines, but we also have websites and places where if there's a young person listening, they can actually go in and get into a chat room and talk with someone about what they're experiencing via text or chat. And so that option is also available. So 800-799-SAFE or campussafetyfirst.howard.edu.
I was exposed to an internet-based program that helped with mental health issues in general. It was set up in the UK purposefully for campuses and for university students who may need to talk about depression and those types of things. Do some of these work in a similar fashion for victims or assailants in this circumstance?
Yes, they do. And so what they do is they allow a person to come in and just talk with someone to get more information. Sometimes people don't know that they're in one of these situations. And so it's an opportunity to clarify, to get connected to resources. And I should note that it also gives you an emergency out button. So if you need to get out quickly, you're able to do that as well. So it does function in very much the same way.
Okay. Well, I have to thank you very much for the work that you're doing. It's extremely important, and very much for the information that you've shared with us today. We've been talking to Dr. Ben Goodley, a professor here in social work at Howard University, and I think the work that she's been doing in helping prevent violence on our university campus and in our broader community is extremely important. And I think we have to leave on the note that you pointed out, we have to all participate in healthy relationships, model those, and illuminate those for those around us to see and enjoy.
Yes,
thank you very much.
Thank you.
My guest today has been Dr. Tricia Ben-Goodley. I'm Dr. Wayne Fedrick, and thanks for joining us on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, right here on the Howard University Radio Network.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR World on HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, glasshouseradio.com, HUR Voices Sirius XM 141, HBCU Sirius XM 142, and 96.3 WHUR Washington.